that would reign in our lives when we give ourselves to the Lord instead of giving ourselves to the flesh. Today, we honor and remember the importance of fatherhood. God in his infinite wisdom made the plan of making man and woman in his image, and through these different but equal individuals, a beautiful oneness would be made through marriage, and in the safe and protective environment of marriage, a new life would be produced in which this wonderful individual could be nurtured and developed to do the same process as their parents. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 4. You that have been in church long enough Sorry. Had to get my preaching Bible. Ephesians 6 and verse number 4 says this. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Just as food is to nurture, and just as rules are to protect and also to correct wrong behavior, so a father is given the responsibility to not anger his children, not to exasperate his children, but instead to provide nurture to his children. Now, what are we nurturing them in? Well, we're nurturing them in the ways of the Lord. So let's go to Proverbs chapter number 8. We see that father instruction in Proverbs is oneness with lady wisdom. Father instruction is one with lady wisdom. And father instruction gives to us this awesome lady wisdom. So the instruction that is given by the father has within its character the ability to provide skill, insight, and produce understanding in how to apply that instruction in a wise and God-honoring way. And why would God have the ability to give us, God, the Father instruction, have the ability to give us this lady wisdom? Well, just as we are one, male and female, in marriage, so wisdom and God are one. You cannot rip wisdom away from God, and you cannot rip God away from wisdom. In fact, in Proverbs 8:22 through 31, the Lord possessed me, speaking of wisdom, in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or even the earth was, when there was no depths. I was brought forth, when there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hill was, I brought forth. Well, as yet, ye had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set the compass upon the face of the depth, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the depth, deep, when he gave to the sea his decree, and the waters should not pass his commandment, when he appointed the foundation of the earth, when I was by him as one brought up with him, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in the habitable part of his earth, and my delights were with the sons of men. The father needs to understand, the earthly father needs to understand, if he is going to teach his children the fear of the Lord. And what's the fear of the Lord? The fear of the Lord, according to Spiritus Sodiatis, is The word refers to the fear of God and is viewed as a positive quality. This fear acknowledges God's good intentions, Exodus 20:20. It will motivate the delight even of the Messiah in Isaiah 11, 2 and 3. The fear is produced by God's word, Psalms 119, verse 30 and Proverbs 2, 5, and makes a person receptive to wisdom and knowledge, Proverbs 1, 7 and 9, 10. So let's flip a few pages back to Proverbs chapter 1. Remember, fathers, we're looking at father instruction. We're looking at lady wisdom. We're looking at what we're to provide our families with as fathers. Instruction, wisdom, knowledge given to us by the word of God. Where does this all start? The fear, the reverence, the respect, the honorable position that God stands above us, and us praising him and admiring him for that position and giving him the due reverence that he deserves because he is in that position. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But just opposed to knowledge and wisdom is foolishness. And what's the identifying factor? Well, those that fear the Lord, what? Those that fear the Lord understand that he is the beginning of all understanding. That he is the source of everything that is true and right. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. Wisdom was woven into the very fiber of creation because wisdom is a quality of the character of God. However, the fall in Genesis chapter number 3 brings a diabolical unity of the wicked man and his lady folly. Now, father instruction and lady wisdom is at enmity with the wicked man and lady folly. So after the fall, there's this wicked, if you will, imagining marriage between the wicked man and lady folly. There is this marriage that has eternal of oneness. And when I say marriage, I'm talking about oneness of wisdom and the very fiber and character of God himself. God is the originator. Wisdom originates in God. Therefore, it's everlasting. Therefore, it will always be true because God never changes, no matter that times change, no matter the world changes, no matter culture change. Wisdom never changes because wisdom is directly connected to God. So the skill and insight of biblical principles that are to be applied by the Christian needs to be understood, fathers, that it doesn't change during circumstances or different cultures. It's one and the same. Now, how it applies itself and how it's shown may look different, but it is in its very essence connected to God. Therefore, it cannot change no matter if the world changes. So father instructions calls and commands us. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Number 2, Proverbs 2:1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee. My son, here's father instruction saying, my son, receive my commandments. Receive my words. Search and seek out the depths of my commandments. Seek and search out and hide them close within you. Don't let them go. Keep them one with you. My commands is protection for you. Proverbs 3:1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 3:21. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. Proverbs 4:1, hear ye children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. Proverbs 4:20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings. Proverbs 5:1, my son, attend unto my wisdom, and bound thine ear to my understanding. Proverbs 6:1, my son, if thou be surety for thy friend, if thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the word of thy mouth and art taken in the words of thy mouth. Proverbs 6:20, my son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Proverbs 7:1, my son, keep my words and lay up my commandments with thee. So you see a father instruction. The point of this is to see father instruction gives direction. Father instruction gives wisdom. Father instruction gives understanding. Father instruction has some prohibitions that he tells his family not to follow. He is understanding that his children need correction. They need instruction. They are not wiser than him, but rather he is to impart wisdom to them. We see that the father is giving instruction. He is offering up guidance to his son. Now, going back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 8, we see this about the nature of the instruction. Proverbs 1, verse 8. So you see, he's offering instruction. He's giving guidance. He's giving direction. Our God is not a God that just sits up in heaven as our creator and just lets us go wherever we want to go without instructing us, giving us prohibitions, giving us direction, giving us wisdom. Now, why? Why is he giving us instruction? Why is he offering up guidance to his son? My son, hear the instruction of the father and forsake not the law of thy mother. So now going back to verse 1, we see a nature about this instruction. In Proverbs, instruction and discipline come primarily through the father or a father figure such as a teacher and usually are conveyed orally but may come via the rod. Well, that's not a popular thing to say today. But it's the truth of God's word. Corporate punishment is part of God's plan. Beating is not part of God's plan. Abuse is not part of God's plan. But inflicting pain on the seat of learning is part of God's plan. The rod, Christian, I don't care what culture we live in, the rod is part of God's plan. Corporate discipline is part of God's plan. Instruction and correction must be provided if you're going to give your children, fathers, opportunity to grow up in a house that will produce this, what we sang about from Christian Home today. On our second song, praise is something to be done. Correction is something that must be accomplished in the home. So the son is to hear and obey the instruction of his father. He is not to forsake the law of his mother. So the mother takes a more nurturing role. The mother takes a role that is produced for the purpose of taking what the instruction of her husband has been given. And through that, doing more of the nurturing process, the process that takes mothers into, so this is another not popular statement in our culture today. Fathers provide leadership. Mothers provide support to the fathers. So if you have a leadership that is coming from the Bible, from the father, mothers are to exalt that and to lift it up within the home and to work alongside of a godly husband that is trying to produce his role in a marriage. The Bible is very clear that the wife is to submit to the husband and the husband is to love the wife. And as that submission and love, also wives are commanded to love their husbands also in Titus. So as you see that produced in your home, worked out in your home, you will see an environment that wisdom can grow and be nurtured in. if there's fighting, if there's complaining, if there's bickering and arguing, foolishness is the product of that. Now we're talking about Christian homes. We're talking about two Christians coming together and becoming one through marriage. I am sorry that the effects of sin has taken hold of our culture and our world, and there's not many of these Christian homes left. But I believe there is some of those Christian homes sitting in front of me today that need to develop themselves in their roles of seeing an environment where God can be praised and God can be magnified and a home can be nurtured and the admonition and the correction and the instruction of the Word of God. But that will never happen, fathers, until we, if we're Christian fathers, until we take the role of leadership within our homes, until we learn to be fathers of instruction. And where do we get our instruction from? Well, the Father of all fathers, who gives us His Word so that we may instruct others. I am not trying to tear down men. I think men need built up. I think it is a devastating thing that our culture has done to men and tearing them down, for it is through men that homes are built, that communities are built, and that nations are built. We see from the Old Testament, Isaiah, that is a judgment of God when women and children are placed in places of leadership within a culture. So therefore, we must protect and provide through the instruction of God's Word. Please realize that I am not downplaying mothers, and I'm not downplaying women. I believe our culture is downplaying you by causing many women to give up their roles as mothers so that they can chase other dreams besides the one thing that God has given to them and what they're responsible for, and that's the nurturing of their children through the leadership of their husbands. And as we think about this, it's no wonder that our homes and our societies are wrecks. It's no wonder that the homes in our society are God-hating, no fear of God within their homes. Because there's a lack of leadership from men, and there's a lack of submission from women. I didn't say subjection. I said submission. Subjection gives the thought that men are of higher value. Ladies, do you realize that you play just as high of a value in your home as your husband does? It's just different. We say we love our families, but are we serious about applying corporal punishment, about applying correction in a love, peace, honoring, God-glorifying way? Are we more about our hobbies? Are we more about our careers? Are we more about our plans than God's? And don't worry, I am preaching to myself because I have plenty of things that I am tempted to put above my family. But if I do that, then they are not provided with instruction. And that will be devastation to my family. What are we doing to buy godly homes, fathers? Are we providing the leadership that God demands from us as Christian men who are loving to our wives and desiring to lead our families? There's a protection by the Father's instruction. So the son is to hear and obey the instruction of his father. The daughter is to hear and obey the instruction of their father. He is not to forsake the law of his mother. The son should not despise the direction of his mother. The father of the home guides the home. He brings the rules and direction to the home. He provides the discipline. what the nature of the instruction of the Father is. The Father instruction. What is this nature? Protection. The antagonist to the Father instruction is the wicked man. And here's a few things. Father instruction wants to protect us from. First, the lies of the wicked. The lies of the wicked man. Proverbs 6:12. Proverbs 6 and verse number 12. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with the with a froward mouth. What's a froward mouth? Well, it's a mouth that is deceived to get gain for itself. A froward mouth is someone that will lie. He will entice. He will lie for personal gain. He will make it look like the decisions for someone is the best decisions that you could make. But as they make those decisions, what happens? They see the true intention of the lying lips of the wicked man is to destroy their home. And there's a lot of wickedness that is trying to infiltrate our home. And is making it very, very deceitful of its true intentions. Now the wicked man has his enticements and promises of gain. Proverbs 1:13 says, we shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our house with spoil. The truth, however, is found in verse 17 through 19 of Proverbs chapter 1. Father instruction understands that the end of the enticements of these wicked men that would go in their wicked desires will end up in this way. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. And they lay wait for their own blood. They lurk privily for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain, which take away the life of the owners thereof. Oh, we can get this gain. Nobody will see it. We can fill this desire, says the wicked man. And the desires are implicated in the wicked man's strongest partner is this lady of folly that produces this enticement to a lie that no one will see if we act out on our desires. But Father instruction sees. The God of heaven sees. Lady Wisdom gives this promise in face of the enticements of the wicked man in Proverbs 1:33. But whosoever hearketh unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quieted from the fear of evil. There's a principle that's being laid out in Proverbs that although our society is quickly running away from the Christian, somewhat Christian foundation it was based upon, that there is still safety in wisdom. There is still safety in honoring God in a way that is well-pleasing to Him. And in the moment, we might not see that safety. In the moment, in the workplace, we might lose promotions because we are acting with character and integrity and trying to follow Lady Wisdom. And then wicked man with his Lady Folly will whisper into our ears to make compromises on what we know is to be from God and by God. And what do? We must listen to Lady Wisdom. Father instruction has the best desire for us. I want to say this, fathers. Our children are spiritually naive. They're what the Bible calls simple. They don't understand the full implications of the desires of the wicked man. We as fathers are trying to mold them into a wise son or daughter because if left to themselves, they will become scorners or even fools. Well, they will say to themselves, there is no God. What a horrific situation. Now, there was a naive child at one time. Let's go to Genesis chapter 3 and look at this example of how Satan, the wicked man, uses enticement, lies to lie. And we must, as godly fathers of our home, speak wisdom, exalt wisdom from the Word of God in the face of the wicked man and lady folly. Genesis 3, 1 through 6 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He said unto women, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto her, unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise. She took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." So we need, and I got this from a lecture this week, but I thought it was so good that I'm going to borrow some of their points. Here's some strategy to help us against the wicked man and lady folly. First of all, understand that Satan, the wicked one, comes in a very enticing, crafty way. He doesn't come in a way that's scary most of the time. Now, when he has a culture like he has now, there's some scary things in our culture. All right? It's quite evident that this whole agenda that's being pushed on us by our culture is not to help families, but to destroy families. Right? This whole attack against women, this whole attack against men to soften men and then to make women come outside of their natural desires, make men go outside of their natural desires and burn after one another, as Romans 1 says, is a tactic of Satan. The sexual confusion that is in our world today is an attack, and also should be a warning to us about how empty the wicked one is. Because he's not trying to hide anything today, friend. He has our culture so engulfed in pleasing itself and living out its desires that he's coming right out in the open and saying, you can do things that are destructive to your body, that hurt your body, that mutilate your body, because you feel like it. And Father Wisdom and Father Instruction is giving out Lady Wisdom saying, no, my creation is what's best for you. And I have a purpose for it. But he entices us. Nobody will see it. Oh. Everyone is a sinner, so it's not right for you to stand against sin. Why judge anyone when you're not perfect yourself? But we have to call out biblical, ethical things in our homes and in our societies despite our failures, so that we have a place of an anchor that's set in the wisdom of God. So when we are in those storms of the sea and those desires are hitting against our bodies and our ship, if there's no anchor in ethics, biblical ethics, then we are tossed to and fro, and our bodies and our societies are destroyed. But when we say, yes, despite my desires, despite giving into temptation at times, I come to Father Instruction and I beg him for Lady Wisdom to show me his way and what is right. And through my doubt and through sometimes the enticement and allurement of this world, we need to be bedrocked in the rock of God's word to know that Father instruction has some understanding for us to know. Fathers, that's your job in the homes, to provide that to your children. It's not your wife's job. It's your job, Christian father, to provide that, to give direction to your family. And wives, it's your job to uplift that direction. Well, I didn't marry a perfect man. Well, he didn't marry a perfect woman either. You're working together in the brokenness of the fall to depend on father instruction. You know, if you berate and diminish the man in the home because he's made a mistake, you know, Christian men make mistakes sometimes. Say amen, men. But Christian men also make some right decisions sometimes. Say amen, men. But if you spend all your time downplaying your husband when he makes those right decisions, you spend all the time downplaying him for his mistakes, why would your kids listen to you about the right things he does? That's not merciful. That's not forgiving. That's not providing what God wants for your family. Now, let's move on before I start to get to meddling. We don't want to do that. He challenges God's authority by asking leading questions, not just questions, but leading questions, questions that are intended to draw you into a certain conclusion, manipulative in nature. Has God really said? Let's sit down and think about this. I mean, this tree looks like every other tree in here. It has different fruit, but it's nice fruit. It's beautiful fruit. What's wrong with the tree? Didn't God create sex? So what's wrong with sex? What's wrong with going in a certain direction? What's wrong with thinking a certain way? Well, you know, come on. If God created, it must be good. I mean, if God created it and then he says it's wrong, then why do I have such a strong desire for it? I mean, God created me. Let's talk about this. Now, does he really mean that the only time sex is right is in the confines of marriage? Oh, come on. What if we really love and care about each other? And then we start to listen to those deceptive questions. And number two, embedded in the questions are improper assumptions about God. Fathers, learn this. Probably most of the time your kids are asking you a lot of questions. It's not necessarily to understand at times. Sometimes it is. But when you give a direct command to follow, it doesn't matter in that moment if your child understands you or not. Now, in a time of non-conflict, you can explain your reasonings. But when you tell your child to stop, father, and they don't stop, and they get hit by a car because they haven't obeyed, because we haven't taught them first time immediate obedience, that falls on you for not providing that to your homes. Now, I am not saying that we don't do training and nurturing and loving. In a time of non-conflict, okay, the time to explain something is not in the middle of a command. The time to explain something is when you're talking through something. Nobody's mad. Nobody's giving a command and saying, now the reason I told you to stop, Johnny, is so because I saw that pickup truck coming down the road and I didn't want you to get hit. The reason, Sally, I didn't want you to wear that outfit is because it was revealing, and I, as your father, don't want you to reveal something that only should be revealed to your husband. But Daddy, everybody's doing it. Now that's very That is the wicked man trying to make you follow Lady Folly. Am I being practical enough here? Probably a little bit too much. We can lie on our income tax. The government's going to misuse it anyways. Now, take every advantage you can not to pay the least amount of taxes you can legally. Does everybody understand that? But don't fudge numbers. That's lying. That's wrong. And God is not pleased. Can we talk about what God said? Genesis 3:1. Yea, has God said. The faulty assumption is God's word is subject to our judgment. It's subtle. The assumption is what God has said is open and subject to our understanding. Well, I don't know. How many of you told your kids to do something and then they want to tell you why that's the wrong decision and how they have a better one? Any parents been there? By us trying to say, I'm not going to obey this until I understand it, is very dangerous. Paul in Romans chapter 7 says, by the law, the desires of his flesh were aroused. When God said not to do something, he said, oh, by that law, I didn't know it was a thing, but now I'm going to think about it and how I can do it. Fathers, direction in our homes, direction for our children, when it comes from the Word of God and when we understand it and commands aren't up for discussion. They are to be obeyed and then to be explained in a time of non-conflict. Now, we lovingly warn. A father lovingly warns, right? So-and-so, one of my kids, not going to name which, go and do this. But, no, stop. Let's think through this because I don't have to put the rod down, however that means to me, whatever that means to me. I don't want to have to implement that. Stop. Think before you talk. Think. Does not God beg us to make the right decisions at times? He pleads with us. His will and his desire is not to implement judgment, but that sinners would repent. So fathers, we provoke our children when we lose our cools, when we administer discipline and the rod in a fashion that is not for mercy and grace to protect, but out of frustration and anger. Simply put, we can't talk about what God says whether we understand it or not. We are to do what God says. Third, is it really what God meant? Genesis 3:1. Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Satan wants us to think we don't need to obey God unless we understand the reason behind the command. I can only obey when I understand the purpose and the reason. Until this happens, God's direction is up for discussion. And question, non-threatening questions that are enticing to the hearer. I just want to ask these questions so I can know better about the command. And I'm asking you, Eve. I have so much respect for you, Eve. I'm coming to you to ask your perspective on God's command. Isn't that so deceptive? This is what the teachers that are ungodly are doing in our society. This is what the government officials that are ungodly in our society. Your parents, your Christian parents, they're just caught in the stone ages. They don't have the brains to know what to tell you. We can tell you. Science says. Your interpretation says that you're totally under the control of Satan, scientist, and we're not going to believe you. When you say that God's creative order can be manipulated, it's not okay for children to argue and to disobey. They're not, Well, I just want them to express themselves and to have freedom, and we're going to crush their spirit, and they're just going to not know how to manage life because we're so crushing. And oh, no. We demand Father instruction because He offers Lady Wisdom. And if we don't see that as a father, and we say, well, Johnny, I'm really concerned about you throwing a fit in the store. Why would you do that? What have I provided in your life that would make you throw that fit in the store? Oh, Johnny, I need your help in knowing how to parent you. I know you're only four, but please tell me. Now, I say that because that's how foolish people are thinking today, and it's seeping over into Christianity. And fathers are brought down to a position that they're lower than the children when they allow them. It's not loving to try to figure out what your child is throwing a fit about in the moment. What's loving is saying, stop throwing a fit. And then later, praying and discussing with your child in a time of non-conflict, what was the problem? And if they're young enough, it's, I wanted what I wanted, when I wanted it, and how I wanted it, and you didn't give it to me when I wanted it. It's that simple, parents. They want when they, what they, because you know how I know that? Because they're little us's. And we want what we want, when we want, and how we want. And if we're not spiritually mature, we throw a fit every time, don't we? I'm mad at my wife. I was expecting to come home with a meal on the table. How could my husband not say good morning to me? We're very childish sometimes. Why? Because we're listening to the wicked man instead of father instruction. I did not estimate that this would come out this harsh. Let's go to the third way God does this. He's enticing. He's crafty. He challenges God's authority. He maligns God's character. Satan subtly hints that God is not personal, but distant. He uses the name God, or Elohim, which is different than his covenant name, Jehovah or Yahweh. We have a God that is concerned about our life. We have a Father that knows our every steps and sees our every weakness. We have a Father that sent part of himself through the Son. I don't know exactly how to explain this. I do believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all gods, but different persons. We'll understand that in glory someday. But God the Father loved us so much that He sent God the Son to be the sin bearer for us. God really doesn't want what's best for us. That's what Satan whispers. He is focused on the one negative instead of the many positives. Now, something touched my heart today when we were singing the songs. And you know what touched my heart? What touched my heart is teaching our families to be houses of praise in the good and bad. And praising God for what He's given to us. He had a multiplicity of trees, or He had multiple trees He could have ate from. Satan doesn't come to you and say, look at how good you have it. Look, the wicked man doesn't say, your parents are paying. Listen, children, the wicked man doesn't say to you, look at how your parents are providing you a home. Look at how your parents are providing you a heated house and giving you three good meals a day. And at times taking you out and spending time with you and loving you. No, He wants you to focus on the one thing they didn't do. He didn't buy me a PlayStation, whatever. Do PlayStation still exist?
Yes.
Okay. He didn't buy me I wanted that new whatever you guys want. Yeah. One tree, guys, and the wicked man got her to put all her focus on the one thing that she couldn't have. Satan finally comes out and calls God a liar. Ye shall not surely die. Satan says God isn't good because he says God is keeping something good from you. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Are we not tempted with that, young people, when we see people that are deceitful and lying, get promotions? And what are we tempted to do? We're tempted to listen to the wicked man and lady folly to get what we want. Contradicting the certainty of God's judgment, ye shall not certainly die. He is offering pleasure in sin and delivers, but just for a season. He introduces pleasure, but says nothing about the pain after the pleasure. Ah! Drink this and have a great time. Smoke this and have this pleasure. But then the thousands of homes that are totally broken through drugs and alcohol. He doesn't show you that. So be on guard for any new twist of doctrine or practice. Learn to affirm the authority of Scripture and Scripture alone, not psychology or psychological arguments outside of Scripture. Oh, if we just, fathers, we listen to all the psychology. Oh, if you just understood the way that these brains are thinking in your 3-year-old child, you could communicate with them so much better. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. All from the day that they're born speak lies, trying to fulfill their own desires. They're walking down the path of death. That's what the Bible says. Live continually in the light that Christ is going to return and make all things right. Man, I'm just getting beat up trying to live the Christian life. I'm not getting promoted. Christ is going to return one day. And he's going to set up a kingdom that will be righteous and right and just. Think about that. Refuse to trade peace for temporary pleasure. How do you do that? By taking care of sin in your mind. How do you do that? First, by amputation. You have to be cut off from what you were in the old Adam. You have to have Jesus Christ's grace applied to you. Secondly, mortification. You have to die to sinful desires. You can't communicate with them. You can't try to understand them. You can't try to reason with them because they will destroy you. And finally, limitation. Just because something is good doesn't mean it's the best. Just because there's a desire that you can't say is sinful and isn't sinful, if you over-focus on that, that good thing can become idolatry in your home and in your life. And that idolatrous thing can take you away from your goal of being the father of instruction as the dad in your house. Dad, it's okay to make rules in your house. It's okay to set up protections in your house. It's okay, Dad, to say, you know what? For the next 3 weeks, we're not going to watch any entertainment in our house. That's okay. But it's good entertainment. There's nothing wrong with it. Yeah, but every time you turn the TV off, your kids start crying. You know what you're developing in that? You're developing an addiction to entertainment. Let's use our heads, fathers. I'm so glad that God made me a father of 4 beautiful girls. And I'm so glad that he gave me, I'm going to embarrass her, but he gave me a wonderful wife to live life through. But it's not her job to set direction for my home. It is my job because I'm the father of the home. Fathers, are we setting direction? Are we praying through things?